right, so I noticed a couple of people in those shots there, some good-looking fish, right? And thank you guys so much for sending some of these in this week, and it's all going to make sense, because I know it feels random. Like, why are you doing this? Just walk with me. So give me another slide. Let's see. I got some more. You guys sent in, like, 3 pages worth, man. I'm telling you, it was awesome. And the Biggins, they have such a big family, they had their own slide for today. So thank you for that. It's all good. Look at that, those fish they got. That is fantastic. And Greg, is that a gator? Yeah. That is, man. All right. Wait, well done. I love that spread on the dock there. That's pretty good on the table. All right, I got one more coming up, I think, here. Look at that. See, I told you it wasn't too bad. It's all good. They're good fish. I think maybe Nate has the prize for the largest fish of all that I received. I don't know, Matt's pretty good looking fish up there. But it's good. And that mess, you got Eli and Gavin with Butch there, and they've got it. They've got, if you ever see the pictures, they've got a honey hole somewhere that they don't tell anybody because they bring out the biggest fish. I don't know where y'all are going, but it's phenomenal. I just love it. Oh, my goodness. Great pictures of fishing. I love it. My kid's probably going to kill me because it was like, you use some old pictures. I'm like, yeah, I know. What are you going to do? Hey, in the Bible, Jesus likes to use fishing as an analogy to making disciples. And so I wanted to do that today and have a little fun as well, you know, in the meantime. And so in case you're not familiar with that, basically what Jesus did was said, hey, you know, casting out to catch fish is like casting out to influence and encourage other people to learn to trust and follow me, to be obedient, to believe. In John 21, which is the story I want to tell today, in John 21, I want to start right at verse 1. And make sure, are there any other kids here today that we want to dismiss to Kids Church? Because I'm like off and running, and I want to talk fishing, and they're like, it's time to go. Totally missed that one. So sorry. They're so patient. They put up with me. Thank you. John 21, I want to start at verse 1. I want to read this story. I could tell it, but I kind of want to read it today. So I figure it's always good to read from the Bible. And so let me do that. So let's go with the story here today. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. We're getting close to the end of John's Gospel. And here's where it starts. Verse 1. It says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, also the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples were together. I feel bad. Those disciples didn't even get their names in here, but they were there. So I'm going out to fish, said Simon Peter. And they said, well, we'll go with you. And so they went out and they got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples, they didn't realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? Nope, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. I love it. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord. He wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and he took bread and gave it to them, amen, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appears to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. The Gospel according to John. I love that story. I love a story about fishing, but I really love that story. That's a good one. What can we learn to encourage us in our journey of making disciples, right? Our mission, our purpose for being here is to make disciples of Christ who love, grow, and serve. So what might this particular story from John's Gospel say to us to not just teach, but really encourage our faith as we're committed to doing this, live this kind of life, right? Go make disciples. And I have three little items I want to share from this particular story, because I was thinking, how do I take this story, which I love, and bring it into today so that it's not just a story, that it's something that just touches our hearts and encourages our faith, especially when I think of our students going back to school this week. How many of you guys that have gone to school had a great week already? I know, yes, one, two, three, four, five, kind of half, yes, where, yeah, yes, yes, it was good, it was good. Our house was quiet, but I wasn't there. Let me start at the kind of the first part of this story. Where in this story, where does Jesus show up? Like literally in this story, where does the story say that Jesus showed up? Did you catch it? He's standing where? He's on the shoreline. I like that. They're out in a boat, out in the water. I'm like totally guessing they did not Instagram their fishing trip to know like this is where they were or anything, right? They just completely, Simon Peter's like, I'm going fishing. And other guys were like, well, that's kind of a hard thing to do by yourself when you're casting a net and if you catch a lot, so we're going to go with you. This is what we do. This is what we know. Let's go. And so they go, and they're out all night, and they catch zip. They got skunked, right? As they say, brutal fishing trip. But I like the point of just taking a moment to stop and say, do you recognize that Jesus knew where they were? He knew where their boat was out in the water. He knew how to find them. He didn't need any, I don't believe he needed anybody to tell him where they were at. He knew their spot. He knew as he stood on the shoreline, like, now watch this, just as he knows our spot as he stands on the shoreline of our lives. And you can picture him in a boat, because there's stories. Do you remember some of this, a couple of the stories where Jesus is in the boat with the disciples in the storm, and he's there, and he's like, he's sleeping, and they're like, get up, and they're freaking out, and it's crazy. And or he can be on the shoreline, and the point's really the same. It doesn't really matter. It's the fact that Jesus is with us. He knows our spot. He said, you know, when he told him, go make disciples, right? Do you remember the Great Commission? He says, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And then he gives this line. And he says, and surely I'm with you to the end of the age. There is no place in life that you can stand where the Lord is not fully aware of where you stand. He knows your spot. He knows the boat that you're in out in the waters. He knows your spot. Sometimes when we're feeling down and out and we're struggling and it's a rough season of life, it may feel like we're all alone and nobody knows where we're at, and the Lord himself doesn't seem to be showing up, and we might feel like, does God even know where I'm at right now? You know, like, does he not realize the spot that I'm in? No, he does. He knows where you're at, and He sees the boat that you are in. And so I want to talk to our students for a second this morning. So students, give me your ears, if you will. How many of you stepped into a new grade this year? This is funny, because every one of you better raise your hands. Everyone, even if you're too cool and you don't want to participate, I totally get it. Okay, so how many of you actually stepped into a new building this year? Like maybe a new school. Okay. Even if you're teachers, it's all good, helpers. Okay. How many of you have new teachers this year that you've not had before? All right. How many of you have different homerooms than you had last year? All right. So there's a lot about where you are today that's changed. Is that fair? It's a lot different. All the people around you are wrestling with a lot of change right now in their lives. Students, I want you to hear me and listen carefully when I tell you that it does not matter where you are standing in the boat, in the waters that you are in right now. It does not matter where you are. There is no place that you can go to the heights or to the depths. The scripture says there's no place you can go where the Lord does not have complete full awareness of where you are in your boat and your waters right now. The Lord knows your spot. Parents, this is a great opportunity for us to parent our children with faith by reminding them that, look, I know that so much is different right now for you, but you got to remember that there's no place that you're standing right now. There's no boat that you're in that the Lord is not completely aware of where your boat is right now and what you're going through, right? He knows your spot. And so let's trust Him that He knows your spot right now. Even if you feel like your spot you're at in life is a little overwhelming and you might be a little disappointed, because you had hopes for something even maybe better than what you got so far. Remind them that the Lord sees them on their journey. You know, when Jesus was standing out there on that shoreline, He hollers. Anybody remember what He hollers out to the disciples out in the boat? I know you do. You just don't want to say it all at one time. So He hollers out to them. He says, "You don't have any fish." Now, what you want to catch is, when you translate that from the original language, right? Actually, it's a negative question. It's the kind of question where you already know the answer. So it's saying, "You haven't caught any, have you? Like, I totally know the spot that you're in. I know your situation." And so their answer is like, "No." And that kind of caught me for a moment, because they're about 100 yards offshore in a boat early in the morning. Jesus is standing on the shore, and He knows already that they haven't caught any fish, that they have had a long, tiring, disappointing, probably discouraging night out on the waters in the boat, and they're probably exhausted out there in the early morning hours. Probably very little to eat, if anything, which we get a clue by the fact that what did Jesus have? He had a fire with some fish, and He says, "Come on over," right? So he knows their situation, and He hasn't even had to ask them, "Say, how's it going? I don't have to ask you because I already know how it's going, because I'm the Lord." See, in our Christian faith, we believe that God is omniscient. And so that word simply means that He's all-knowing. Omni, all, and right, the word science, kind of knowledge and knowing. He is all-knowing. So He knows our situation, which I've said to you, and I see in this story. But you got to take that a step further, because when He knows the situation that you're in, He also knows how you're feeling in that situation. He knows those guys are frustrated and discouraged. He knows that they're disappointed, because He's God. But also, look, remember, these are fishermen, and so they used to fish for a living. And they fish to feed their families and their friends, and they're probably going to somehow either sell some of this fish that they catch, they're going to split it up from their families, they're going to help take care of each other, because that's what a community does, right? And when that's what you're banking on and it doesn't happen, it can be a little discouraging. He knows. He knows their pain. He knows their frustration. He knows their discouragement. I don't like to jump stories much, but I just had to jump from this story. You ready? So, Isabel, if you go back to the Exodus, remember when the Israelites are in slavery in Egypt and they come out, right? And so God calls Moses to lead them out. Well, in Exodus chapter 2, if you were to read that chapter, at the end of the chapter, there's a comment, like a note in the story that says that the Lord, he heard their cry in slavery, and he knew the situation they were in. He knew how they'd gotten into it. He knew where they're at, and he knew how they were feeling. And I know that that's the case because at the end of the chapter, he says, and he was concerned. He knows their plight. He knows they're suffering, struggling. They're crying out that they just can't take it. It's too much. They're being overwhelmed in life right now. It doesn't escape his ear or his mind or his eye or his heart. He knows. If you know me, you know I always like to somehow come around to Jesus in the sermon. And so this is the point we're going to do that. You ready for this? Are you ready for this? Here we go. That's my camera guy, because that's code for like, oh, he's going to move now, so I gotta go with him. I never know where this guy's going to go. It's weird. He's like just bounces around. So if you read the Gospels with the story of Jesus, you will see that Jesus had his ups and downs, okay? So he had some mountaintop experiences, so to speak, where he performed these amazing miracles. People saw what he could do as God in the flesh. But if you keep reading, you'll also discover that he had some pretty hard, he had some hardships that he had to go through. People discriminated against him. People treated him unjustly. They gossiped about him behind his back. They tried to manipulate situations to get him to stop doing what he was doing. They went to people who had influence in the community to try to deceive the public in order to get Jesus silenced, which then takes us to the cross, okay? The scriptures tell us that Jesus was tempted in every way as of mankind, but yet he was without sin. And I want to invite you, don't overlook that. So Jesus was tempted tempted to sin, to deny trusting in the Father, to tempt to not be obedient, that God could not provide and care and do what he wanted to do to fill his will for humanity, and like all this kind of, right, da, da, da. So he's fully God, and he doesn't give in to the temptations. But see, we also understand that God, that Jesus is fully God, but he's fully what? Man. Ah, don't overlook that. Because that it teaches us, it helps us understand that he also experienced the emotions that come along with all of the ways that he was treated poorly by his own community of people that should have been the very people that should have valued and respected and loved on him and treated him right. But they didn't. You ever know what it's like to have the people that are nearest and closest to you, your friends, your family, your coworkers, your peers, your school teammates, who you think would be the ones that would stand up for you and treat you right, but they're the very ones that turn around and stab you in the back, as we say? Maybe. Maybe we know something about that, right? Jesus' story is a story of him feeling that. It's a story of him knowing the hurt and the pain and the sense of betrayal, sense of discouragement, sense of that, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Just the dark, the hurt of that, just for the people and their brokenness and what he's experiencing. Don't ever overlook the humanity of Jesus and just go straight to the divinity of Jesus. You have to keep the two together in balance, in tension, if you will, because it's the God, it's the truth of who he is, fully God and fully man. So don't rob the humanity of Jesus and miss out on him knowing what it feels like to hurt and to be sad and to cry and to be discouraged, to feel rejected, to feel like nobody wants you around. Nobody wants to listen to what you've got to say because they don't really care what you got to say. Like he gets that. You have a Lord in Jesus Christ who knows not just the spot that you're at, but the situation you're in. He knows the details of it, how you got there, but he also knows how you feel when you're sitting in the moment because he sat in some moments where he was hurting. Like he gets it. He knows. A suffering Savior who knows. So, students, Jesus knows how it feels to be treated how you've been treated when it made you unhappy and it hurt. He gets it. Same thing, parents, right? Encourage, like you get that, you know that. But also, like, parent our kids with a faith that confesses the Lord knows how I feel because he knows me and he knows what I'm going through. He knows my spot. He knows my situation. And Hope, can you give me that third one, please? He also knows the solution. They're a little behind. They're going to catch up. It's all good. He also knows the solution. I was talking to my mom, and she was telling me a little story of, because my mom lives down on the Gulf Coast, and if you're that close to the Gulf Coast, you know, hey, deep sea fishing, right? It's right there in your own backyard. And so she was telling me a story. Some family members who had gone out fishing, and they'd done really well, and that same captain took another group out, and they went 70 miles offshore. I don't know that I could do that. I would get sick in a heartbeat. But they went 70 miles offshore, and they were fishing deep, and they didn't catch a thing. Talk about discouraging, man. Like, really? Come on. So what was pretty funny, I like about the story, was the captain of the boat decided, okay, well, the reason, the why we've come out here was because we want to catch some fish. Well, we didn't catch fish this way, so let's change our tactic and let's head on back in. But I want to take you to another spot that I just took some folks to, and they caught some fish, and let's see what happens. And so they did. They swung by, and they changed the tactic, and so they started fishing for snapper, which is good eating, and caught their limit for the day. I mean, talk about redeeming a fishing trip, right? Like, we're going to come up nothing, and then you just catch your limit. What a great trip. I just love that story. It makes me happy. Might be thinking of eating snapper, but I think it's the fishing trip that makes me the most happy, and I love it. When we read the Bible, you'll see story after story of how God knows not just the situation, but he knows how to solve the problems to further his salvation plan that he's working out. Like, you just see how God says, oh, there's a problem, I can solve this. Like, and then you see another one, it's like, oh, I can solve this one too, right? I can step into this. And I thought, that's Jesus telling those disciples on the boat when he's like, you didn't catch anything, did you? And he doesn't say, pack it up and go home. He says, I know why you're out here. I know the why. I want you to change up how. Oh, you're not getting a harvest here? Well, change up and do it this way. Just throw your nets on the other side of the boat and you're going to catch a whole bunch. I love it. Listen to me. I know the solution, but you need to listen to me and you need to be obedient to me. Sometimes maybe that's one of the hardest things. You ever notice that? I do. So listen to the Lord, and when the Lord gives a direction, what he wants us to do, to then be obedient to that and follow through on that. And gosh, Lord, you're asking a lot of me, and that'll be a big change perhaps, and I don't know if I'm ready for that. And Lord, what if it doesn't turn out, you know, the way that I really want it to? And just a lot of what ifs, you know what I mean? But here's the thing in this story. John wants us to know that the guy that's standing on the shoreline who knows the situation also knows how to solve the problem, and that's Jesus Christ. Like the one that's on the shore is not just any random person. This is Jesus Christ. And you go, well, that's kind of obvious, Pastor. Thank you for that one. Well, you're welcome. But we need to reiterate the obvious because John is putting this story at the end of this gospel so that as we read it, we would be affirmed that this is really Jesus Christ, that he did rise from the dead. And the very fact of how he tells this part of the story is to get us to catch this. Oh, like that. Pardon the pun. How many fish did they catch? 153. Were they small fish or large fish? Large fish. Did the net break when they dragged the fish in or no? It's not by chance that John tells that story exactly the way he tells it. Because he wants us to understand and see that that many large fish with the kind of nets that they were using should have potentially broke the net coming in, but it didn't break. So we need to know that something that just happened in that moment was not of mankind, it was not natural, that it was a divine intervention of God in that moment in the world. Jesus Christ made that happen. He knew the solution. He knew how to bring it to pass. But I also love, too, that, boy, they had to listen and be obedient. I wonder if any of them had in their heads thinking, really? Like, I've been doing this all night. I'm telling you, if there's no fish on this side of the boat, they're not going to be on this side of the boat. I don't know that, but I just wonder. Because when you're tired and you're hungry, you're hangry, you know what I'm talking about? You're discouraged, you're disappointed, it's not going the way you want, you've been doing it all night, and it's like, seriously, you just want me to turn around and do it this way? Like, come, what? Okay. They listen, they're obedient, and the blessing comes. And I thought, you know, if he can do that then, I'm thinking he's more than able to keep doing that again today. Way more than able, because he's God. How many of you are familiar with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Do you catch this? In all your ways acknowledge him by faith, trust and listen and let the Lord lead you. He will direct your paths. Well, that helps us to see that he has a path laid out before us. And he's more than able to direct us to solve the little hiccups and, you know, the road construction along the way and the problems. He knows how to do that. Well, let me come back to the students. You guys ready? So you got to wake up and listen again. I know it's brutal. I want to tell you something that you already know. I'm going to tell you some bad news, then I want to tell you good news, okay? You ready for this? All right, here's the bad news. You're going to get hurt this year at school somehow. I'm not talking about a skinned knee. I'm talking about somehow dealing with people and students or teammates or teachers or staff or whomever or family or friends, whatever. Somehow you're going to get your feelings hurt. Somebody is going to disrespect you. Somebody's not going to show value for you. Somebody is going to discriminate against you. Someone is going to treat you unfairly. They're going to gossip behind your back. They're going to maybe post stuff on social media that's not going to be positive and whatever, okay? Like, I'm just telling you right now, something's going to happen. So don't be naive going into this school year going, this is going to be great. This is going to be a perfect year. Like, I cannot wait. It's going to be awesome. Like, it's going to be so good. It is. But there's going to be something that's going to make it a hard year. You know why? Listen, this is important. You've got to catch this. Because we live in a world that's broken in sin. And hurt people, broken hurt people, tend to break and hurt other people. It's going to happen. That's why we need Jesus. That's why God's love is the greatest gospel we have in the world. You're going to get hurt. I know, that's the bad news. But here's the good news. It's not the end of the world. It's really, it's not. Now, adults, we go, I know, I just try to keep telling my kids that all the time, and they just won't listen to me, that it'll be okay, da, da, da. So I want to tell you, you know, I know that's kind of a coin cliche, right? Like, it's not the end of the world. And it's like, you got to talk like, yeah, I get it. But I say that because when you look at the boat that you're in, and the moment you wish you weren't sitting in or standing in, you've got a Jesus who knows where you're at, and he knows what you're feeling and what you're going through in your situation, and he knows the solution to get beyond that to a place where you are at peace again. He knows. And he's more than able to direct your path to that place of peace and to be able to just go, I'm going to be okay. Now, let me give you what I feel is the secret to that place of peace. You ready for this? And some of the adults probably too are like, I'm listening. Come on, I need to hear this too, you know? Yeah. Love God and love people. What? Now I know, there's no pill you take. It's nothing you buy. it's nothing. Like, it's seriously, keep your heart postured at loving God and loving the people around you. So I don't want to love those people. I understand. But I believe obedience to Christ is the pathway to the blessing of peace in our lives. I don't believe you can shortcut the end result by getting away from loving God and loving people. It's a great command, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to experience peace, you're going to have to go through loving people to get to it. And I know that's hard, because that feels like the last thing we want to do. But that's where we have to remember, you cannot always trust how you feel, because your feelings do not always tell you the truth about what is right in your reality. You need the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that through him you have a pathway to peace that is through love and not bitterness. It's through love, loving God and loving others, not through ignoring and writing them off in your life. No, that's not the pathway to peace. You gotta love people. The Lord is the one that brings peace through love. It's not something that you get because you've earned it, or you get because you just think it enough. It's not a positive self-talk thing. It's a God thing. It comes into our lives through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know it's going to be hard. So I thought, well, I might as well just use the Apostle Paul's words in Galatians 6:9 to just lay it right before us. And he wrote to the Galatians, he said, let us not become weary in doing good. Like, don't get so overwhelmed and discouraged that you just like quit and walk away and go like, I've had enough, throw in the towel, I quit. He says, no, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So I would say just keep on fishing. Love God, love people. That's the fishing, right? Because that's the heart of really discipleship. Loving God and loving people, encouraging folks to find peace and hope in Jesus Christ. That's the fishing part. That they would be encouraged and influenced to love and trust in Jesus and follow Jesus. That's the fishing, discipleship, right? We can't do that unless we're loving on people, loving people, blessing them, encouraging them. Just keep on fishing. We can do that, Charlie, right? Just keep on fishing. Don't give up. Oh, yeah, because I know, no matter where I'm at in the waters, he knows my spot. He knows my situation. And he knows the solution. I trust him. So I'm going to keep on fishing in love. And see what God does to bring in the harvest that he can bring in. And I believe it'll be good. I really do. I believe it's going to be good for New Hope, and it'll be good for you too. And so I want to invite you, help our church to continue to keep this right in front of us all the time, that we will never stop fishing. We're going to keep on fishing. And sometimes we'll have to change how we go about doing things, right? We can change the how, but let us remember the why. It's about fishing, making disciples, help people come to discover Jesus, to trust and follow him, and to know the blessings of peace in their life as they do that. It really does happen. It really works. Father, I ask that you would take these just words of mine today and just this simple analogy of discipleship and fishing, and would you just keep it resonating in our hearts and minds with in our faith, and keep us encouraged, because it's a hard world we live in, broken, but you're a perfect and powerful, mighty God, and you're more than able, I know, to handle what concerns us at any time. And so give us the strength to persevere through it all, to be courageous and to be bold as we keep on fishing. And even when we may get tired or frustrated or run down, and we just know, you know our spot, our situation, and solution. So we're just going to keep on keeping on, because if we do, we know at the proper time, your word says that we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up.